Welcome back to the Chasing Tone podcast. Today, I have a very special episode for you. Today is a discussion slash interview with a good friend of mine and fantastic guitar player, big YouTuber named Robert Baker. The guy is just an amazing guitar player. So let's jump into that right now. I know you're going to love this episode. All right, so my guest today is Robert Baker, the YouTube guitar sensation, the guy who I struggle to play all his 80s rock licks and fail miserably. Robert, how you been?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I am doing great. It's hot here today. It's probably hot there, too, since you're in Ohio and I'm in Indiana. You're probably in this middle of this 100-degree Fahrenheit heat wave as well.
Yeah, it's awful. What's going on? This isn't our weather.
It's absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
I walk outside to like get the mail and I'm like, this sucks. I'm going inside.
Right. Well, like when we were just you were there too in Nashville. And yeah. I was like, God, it's so hot down here. And I looked at the weather and it was exactly identical in Ohio. I was like, this is crazy. I was like, at least they're not hot there. And I'm like, it's just as hot in Ohio.
Oh yeah. So. Yeah. It's fairly miserable. And then the rest of the year I spend bitching and complaining about how it's cold.
How cold and all the snow.
Such is life, though.
Yeah.
All right, so, of course, you got a YouTube channel. It's Robert Baker is the name of your channel. I don't know why you chose that name.
But you know what? It never made sense to me, but I guess I'm stuck with it now. I do wish I had, like, a cool name, but I don't.
You could be you know, like RB, you know, you could be P. Diddy Robert, you know, I don't know.
RB 5000.
RB 5000. Instead of Lil Uzi, you could be Lil Robbie, you know. So I don't know.
Rob Dog.
Rob Dog, yeah. And, I mean, you got some video, like your top video has 3.1 million views. Your second most popular video, actually a bunch of them there have around 1 million. 1 million and, you know, 800,000, you know, right in that area. So you're killing it.
You know, I feel bad for all, you know, however many million of those people who sat through those videos. So just take a moment and feel bad for them.
Well, you do a lot. It seems like you do a lot of stuff. It's like you do some beginner stuff and you do some more advanced stuff. And you also do a little bit of product, you know, reviews as well. But for the most part, it's kind of like, you know, five easy riffs to play. You know, five riffs you can learn for Guitar Center. The Secret of Shred. There's a lot of shredding stuff. So, and you do the shredding stuff very well. Like I said, I've tried to emulate it, and I can't do it. It sounds like someone let their chickens out, and I'm trying to pick them up.
So, well, mine just sounds like some hack with a bunch of distortion on and delay. And I'm like, you know what? This is good enough to get by. So,
but I mean, your channel is kind of geared towards teaching people, right?
Yeah, you know, just kind of like just the love of guitar, I guess, is how I would describe it. You know,
right? And you also do lessons as well, correct?
Yeah, you know, I've scaled back a lot. Like I used to teach at a store, you know, quite a few years ago, and now I offer Skype lessons, but I only do that 2 days a week now. Just because I think it's kind of like once a teacher, always a teacher mentality.
Right.
So I feel weird not teaching.
Yeah. See, I tried to do the teaching thing when I was younger, when I was trying to figure out like my quote unquote path and, you know, going through all the different things that a guitar player does to try to monetize their habit. And I was a miserable teacher. And like, just play this, and they would say slow it down. I'd be like, I'm not sure what I'm doing when I slow it down. It's muscle memory. I'd have to relearn it.
you know, it's crazy what teaching teaches you. I mean, I remember when I first started teaching, like I think that I like was like near having a heart attack from just like being like nervous about like teaching, and then they would ask like one question. I'm like, I don't know the answer to that, and you know, you have to like evaluate everything that you do to try to explain it to someone.
Right. Did you ever get the kid that, you know, just had his or her first guitar for like a month, and they come to you and they're like, I'd like you to teach me the entire Racer X album.
Oh my God. You know what? Yes, I've had those people, and I've had the other people who come in and they're like, yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, wanting to get better. I'm like, cool. And they play it and they're like Yngwie level good. I'm like,
show me that. How'd you do that?
I'm like, so how did you just play that? And you know, I have you guys, you know, who they're amazing, you know, just, maybe lacking on the theory side a little bit. So that's what we would focus on. But, you know, much like more technical than I was. And as soon as we kind of got into the theory world, they're like, oh, you know, you see the light bulb kind of click.
Gotcha. So you're more of a theory player. Do you read music as well?
No, I used to. I think it's one of those, like, if you don't use it, you lose it thing. So, like, I haven't done it in who knows how long. I just stick to my good old pentatonic scale and call it a day. So
the good old genotonic scale. I love that one. So how did you actually get here? What was the path from little Robbie Baker as a kid to Robert Baker, the YouTube shredding sensation?
Well, it all started in 1989. It was a hot, no.
it was a warm day.
It was a warm day in South Carolina. So, no, you know, my there's not a lot of like musicians in my family and stuff. So my dad played for many years before I did. And it was when I heard, it was Hot for Teacher. I was like obsessed with Creed, the band. And my dad was just, you know, the Southern guy. He's like, boy, let me play you some real music. And he puts in Hot for Teacher. And I was like, what is this? And he's like, it's Eddie Van Halen. And RMP took me the next day to get Van Halen 1. So that kind of started guitar. And then when I was in high school, I went to a tech school for media, like video editing and all that stuff. And I figured out that I really liked video and photography stuff. And somehow, luckily, they both ended up tying in together to venture into YouTube. So
what made you decide to start a YouTube channel? Was that just kind of a hobby, or did you seek out, were you like, you know what I'm going to do? I want to make a bunch of awesome videos, get a ton of subscribers, and then everyone's going to adore me in my long hair.
That was actually that was my first goal. And then I quickly realized that wasn't going to happen. And no, it was actually Rob Chapman. I remember I was looking for how to play some lick or something online, and I just stumbled upon one of his videos, and the way he kind of taught, I was like, oh, that's the way. Like, I had a friend who I was like teaching to play. I'm like, oh, this is just kind of like, you know, how I do it. Just kind of like laid back and, you know, teaching stuff. And I was like, well, I could do this. And then, not that I'm as good as Chappers, but I was just like, oh, this is like really fun. And I just kind of started doing it because, you know, in the beginning stages of YouTube, there's no, back then, I mean, there was only like select channels that got monetized and all that stuff. So it was just strictly from like, this is fun kind of standpoint, and just kind of kept doing it.
Huh. So did you play in a lot of bands growing up then, or were you just the kid in the bedroom?
Yeah, no, I was in like lots and lots of bands. And actually, I guess YouTube came from, I was in bands for years and years and years, like in three bands at one point. And I just wasn't getting better as a player. And I was like, I just want to like chill out and actually like practice. And I just spent a couple years like really practicing. And that was when I started YouTube, which led to my first, you know, guitar, you know, actual paying gig, which was teaching at a music store. So I was kind of like happy that I kind of chilled out with the band thing for a while to pursue just getting better, and then YouTube.
When you were in the bands and before you kind of stumbled on that, I mean, were you, was your desire to be like the professional rock guitar player?
Yeah, kind of. It was weird because like my thing was I wanted to be a session guy, was 100% what I wanted to do, because I'm like such like a homebody. I love being home.
Right. So you're like, I am not going on a bus for 300 days a year.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm like a terrible rocker, but that just didn't like appeal to me. I was like, session work seems great because you can stay at home and just sort of like move somewhere like Nashville or something like that. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I'm nowhere near good enough to do this. So then I was just kind of out of luck. And gotcha. Then it all fell back on my hair.
So. Like, well, I got the hair. I might as well start the channel.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So and of course, this is an audio podcast. So imagine Sebastian Bach and his long, flowing locks of hair on a guy that can just melt your face off. So,
well, with pentatonics.
With pentatonics. No, that's not true. I actually was listening to some of your stuff this morning, mostly because whenever you do songs at the beginning of your videos, I'm always like, this should be on an album somewhere. This guy needs it. Why is he making an album?
Yeah, I have an EP coming out. Actually, it was supposed to release this weekend, and I didn't get the stuff uploaded right. So probably next weekend, actually.
And that's one of the things, like, I know, like, I've done a few, I guess I call them sit-in type of things with you on your channel.
Yeah.
You know, I think it has been around kind of like a few different pedal reviews. But, yeah. And you would send me this song, and I was like, oh my gosh, man. Like, this song is freaking great. Like, how long did it take you to figure this out? And you're like, I just came up with it real quick. And I'm like, what?
It's all a lie. I've been like years working on. No, I'm like, oh, I gotta seem cool to Brian. Like 10 minutes, bro.
Exactly. So, I mean, obviously, YouTube and teaching are your main sources of income now.
Yeah.
So, on YouTube, I know there's a lot of people who would love to be in that position with, you know, several hundred thousand subscribers. And you know, millions of views on their videos. I don't know how many total views you have on your channel, but I'm sure it's just this astonishing stupid number.
I have no clue, but yeah, I mean, I sometimes when I like see it, if I'm on like that page, I'm just like, this is just crazy. Like, I feel weird. I'm like, so many people have seen me being weird, like right. Just with the guitar in my hand. But
so do you, I mean, obviously you do monetize, whenever you're writing, you know, kind of I guess you do sort of an outline of what you're going to talk about in a video. Are you really trying to think about, you know, is this one going to be a popular viral thing, or is it going to be just, you know, kind of ordinary? Like, what's kind of your process for coming up with content?
Yeah. You know, my thing is it all starts with the title. I just think of, like, I try to think of a video that has an interesting title, because it's kind of the thing. I talk with a lot of people about this who are, like, kind of, like, starting their YouTube channel and stuff. I'm like, you know, clickbait gets such a bad name. It's like, but you actually want a clickbait title. It's just you can't have a clickbait title and then the content be terrible.
Right. You got to deliver the goods, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, if you have, like, a real enticing title, I'm like, well, why would I not want a title that makes people want to click on the video? You know, so, you know, it all starts with the title. Like, I just think of, like, things that I guess I would watch, you know, that I would click on, whatever the one I just did was, like, if Slash played a Strat.
Right.
I was like, I would totally click on that video. So, you know, if it seems interesting to me to watch, I'm like, oh, well, then I'll make that video. So that's kind of how it all starts. I don't plan out anything I say, though. So.
Gotcha. Right. So you're shooting from the hip for the most part.
Yeah, that's why I usually sound like an idiot when I talk about stuff.
I don't think you do, but I totally get where you're coming from. I can't even watch my own videos. So I'm like, oh my God, what a dork.
You know what's funny? I know. See, now this makes me sound like a jerk, but and not a dork factor, but it was funny. One of your videos popped up in my recommended from 2012. And
oh my gosh,
and you were rocking the headset mic. I was like, I meant to send you a picture of it. I was so pumped up to be watching that video.
I thought I made all those unlisted.
I think it was the decibel. I think it was.
Oh my gosh.
It's so good. I was so pumped up.
But in YouTube years, 2012 was like decades ago.
Yeah, no, I mean it's so cringy. Like,
no, it totally is. I hate those videos with a passion.
Not I'm not saying your video is cringy. I was like, but to go back and watch my old videos.
It is cringy. I'm agreeing with you. It is cringy. Yeah.
Well, it's just funny because it's even like I can listen to the way like you talk in your video, or like I'll talk in mine. My wife used to always make fun of me. She's like, you have a camera voice. And it was just because like it was weird talking to yourself in a room to a camera for so long.
It is. That's one of the hardest things for me to get used to, for me to really have gotten used to. I'm used to it now. But for a long time, it was so awkward just sitting in a room and talking to no, because really you're just talking to no one. There's just a camera on you. Yeah, I mean, it's like you're having a conversation with yourself. And eventually, I guess I kind of started making fun of myself. I started being self-deprecating, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that's the way I deal with it. But it's totally different whenever you're talking to a camera about stuff, and even like on a podcast, it's different in a way, because I mean, like. You know, I'm not talking to you about, well, I just bought a new pair of shoes yesterday, because it's not really relevant, you know, but
I did do that, but yes.
I could totally understand where you're coming from there. I think it's really interesting that you've been able to take what you love to do. And even though you're not like, you know, a session guitar player somewhere, you're still doing what you love. And I think there's a lot of people, especially a younger generation that's, you know, 18, 25, 26, and they're trying to figure out, you know, what am I going to do now that I'm out of college, I'm in a job that I just now discovered I hate, I really wish I could be playing guitar, how do I be Robert Baker, you know, or you know, something like that. I think it's fascinating that you're able to do that. Do you do Patreon as well? Are you on Patreon?
Yeah, I do a little bit of that. You know, I don't push it too hard. I have it, and you know, I never really mention it or anything. It's just kind of there. And you know, thankfully people are like super supportive and find it, you know, kind of tucked away in the descriptions of videos. But you know, I mean, it's mainly just that, and then like selling like lesson packs and stuff like that from my websites.
Right. Okay. So you're driving traffic to your website from your videos as well through the description.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's more, I guess, what I actually kind of like push.
Gotcha.
You know, in videos, but even that, I just like, I never want to come across as like a salesman, kind of like trying to sell anybody something. I'm just like, hey, you know, it's there. It exists. Right.
Hey, here's five easy riffs. Give them one for the next four, and for the next four, go to my website, and for $14.99, you can have the next four.
We laugh now until like next week you see a video, and I'm doing that.
That from what I've seen, that doesn't work.
No, you know what? It doesn't, and you know, I think that kind of approach will never like really resonate with subscribers. You know, I mean, I know, and I'm sure you're the same way. Like, I really appreciate all the people who subscribe to my channel. So I always want to make sure that there's that balance there.
Do you ever walk into like a guitar center or something like that, and someone's like, oh my God, dude, I watch your videos. I love your stuff.
That does happen. And I'm always kind of like, I don't feel weird. I'm just always like, man, people actually do watch me, you know, it's that real factor all of a sudden.
Right. I've talked about it before on the podcast. Like whenever I go to NAMM, that's really fun for me, because then it all seems real. I'm like, oh, there actually are people that watch my channel and buy our pedals. That's kind of cool.
that's the thing. Like you actually get to meet like, you know, the people, and it's always crazy, because then they'll like, you know, rattle off like, oh, this video like helped me a bunch, or I'm like, oh, you know, it's really like humbling, and just I'm like, this is like really cool, because
right,
you know, I appreciate them, and it's just like a mutual kind of like relationship, I feel.
Yep, I get you. So what's an average day look like for you?
I'm trying to get them more structured, but usually what I do is and I'm sure you know this too, you know, anytime you're self-employed, it's, you know, self-motivation is, I think, one of the biggest obstacles to kind of overcome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what I started doing is I have a schedule that I write out like all these video ideas I have. So like Monday is like a shooting day, and whatever video I have written down, that is just what I shoot. And I might shoot two or three videos in a day. That's why some people complain, like, you have the same clothes on in like three videos. I'm like, well, I shot three videos that day. I'm not changing outfits.
I've actually done that before. I'll change shirts. If I shoot different videos, I'll change shirts between.
Do you? Uh-huh. Well, so what I started doing, and then some people like troll me about it, but like I just put on like a jacket when I'm editing, like a part that has three or four guitar parts in it. I just throw on like one of my jackets. That way it's strictly from an editing standpoint. I know that all these clips are this particular guitar track, this one. And they're all like, look at you trying to be cool with your jacket on. I'm like, to be honest, it's like, it's not even like trying to be cool. I'm just like trying to make it easier on me when I'm editing the video.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's a good idea.
Yeah, well, because it's easier that, like, I want to keep, like, changing, like, clothes and stuff, so I just, like, I'll have, like, a hoodie or, like, the blue jean jacket or something that's in the closet. I just grab it real quick and put it on, and that's just a different one for when I'm syncing up the audio clips.
Right. That makes sense. So it sounds like you're doing Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you're shooting videos. Tuesday, Thursday, and I assume Saturday, you're editing videos.
Yes. Yeah. And
And then, and then Sunday, like, you recuperate, I guess.
Yeah, finally. Like, this is, like, I think the first year where I actually have, like, a day off, you know, to where eventually my wife's just like, okay, you've been working a lot. You kind of need to stop working so much. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I should probably actually do that.
It's the same problem in my household where – once your passion kind of becomes your job, the lines between passion and job, like the lines between fun and job, are blurred so much.
Yeah.
You're like, am I working or am I just playing, and do I need to go hang out with family for a while? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it totally gets that way. And I mean, I know you're the same way. I think very driven people, it's easy to get caught up in it. Cause I mean, you know, I'll text you or you'll text me something. It's like 1 a.m. we're both just like working on something.
That is so true. And I forget that not everyone does that. And there's been times where I've texted someone. They're like, dude, it's 1 a.m. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I was up till 2 a.m. The video I posted today, I was just editing it. I just wanted to get it done. Like I have and it totally comes from my dad. Like the mentality, I feel almost anxious if I start working on something and I don't complete whatever the task is.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy. I hate to stop in the middle of something. Oh, so yes. I imported all the footage last night. I'm like, I should just go ahead and start editing this. And, you know, it's like 2 hours in and I'm like, well, I'm already 2 hours in now.
So. I can't stop. I'm not going to stop in the middle of this. Yeah. I'm in my flow, man. Yeah. Totally understand it completely.
Yeah. It's the same thing. So that's pretty much what it is, you know. And then I still teach on Wednesdays and Saturdays.
Okay.
So.
And so you're teaching at the store there, or you're teaching online?
I just teach online. Yeah, I do all Skype stuff now.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, that's. Obviously that's I don't want to say occupation because that sounds like a formal job, but you know. A way to make money that a lot of people have really kind of grabbed hold of, and it's kind of made a whole new market in a way. I mean, if you think about it, this was completely impossible 10, 15 years ago, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's the thing. So like when I started teaching, initially I was 21. So, you know, back then Skype was probably a thing. I didn't know about it. But, you know, YouTube was that was like 9 years ago. So YouTube was very young. So much of the stuff didn't exist.
Right.
So to kind of look at it now, and I always try to push people into that because, like I said, you know, we mentioned the whole California's expensive, you know, kind of Ohio, Indiana's much more affordable to live in.
Right.
And I'm like, well, that was the first thing that kind of clicked with me. I was like, well, when I'm doing Skype lessons, I only have one person who's in Ohio. All the other ones are either in different countries or like California. But so for them, my rate is much higher than what I could actually charge someone who lives and works in Ohio, but they're in California or England. And they're like, oh, well, that's way cheaper than what we're paying here.
Right.
So, you know, even from like a business kind of standpoint, it makes sense.
Yeah, totally makes sense. It's I equate it to actually selling pedals. So in the town that I live in, the guitar pedal market is pretty much non-existent. I mean, there's only a handful of people that even know who Wampler Pedals is, and let alone that it's even in this little small town called Martinsville.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's, I mean, but then, you know, you go to Nashville and or wherever, and it's a household name there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So it's just odd. You know, it's an odd business model to really use the internet and create this weird business, but fun. And that, I guess that's why I bring it up, because I think it's it opens the door to people who have all these different talents that they can use in a very unique way to, you know, to make a living and not have to go work in a cubicle somewhere.
Yeah. You know, I think especially now it's like one of the most exciting times to be, a musician. You know, there's a lot of complaints about, you know, music doesn't sell anymore and all that stuff. And, it kind of doesn't, but I feel like it gave so much power to like the individual who can build a following and release, you know, an album directly to the supporters. And it's such a cool kind of like feeling, you know, just the way technology is now.
Right. Rather than rely on like income from Spotify or something, you know, and get your 45 cents a month.
Yeah, exactly. Which at one point I would have been like saving that 45 cents to buy a dollar Tony's pizza. So
it's true. Buy a package of ramen noodles.
I think when we lived in our first house, that might have been too rich for us to even go that far. So
I can totally understand. So, I mean, obviously you're a popular YouTuber. What are some of the things you like and dislike about it? Like what's some of the, we've talked a little bit about it, but are there any like main things that you really love about having such a strong YouTube presence?
Well, you know, I love the opportunities that it's brought out. I mean, obviously there's the side of it that, you know, I love getting to have something that's so focused around guitar all the time, but it just, you know, It's wild for me, the opportunities to like get to know people. I mean, like knowing you, for example. I mean, I knew who Wampler Pedals were a long time ago when I was teaching at the store. The manager there used to watch your videos. He liked you, Wampler, so much. He's like, well, Brian actually demos the pedals. And
I call it attempts to.
Well, yeah, but see, and then now it's like, you know, you think about it, I'm like, and now, you know, I'm like one day I'm texting Brian. I'm like, you know, it's just that stuff seems really like crazy to me. That's even.
see, I hear that. I think that had to be a letdown whenever he's like, this, I thought this guy was going to be cool, but he's kind of an idiot.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's so cool, you know, getting to know, or even like different events, like, you know, becoming friends, like Phil X had like a huge impact on me, and playing guitar and stuff. And then, you know, to be friends with him, I'm sure it's with you and like Brad Paisley and Brent Mason and these guys.
Yeah. I mean, it makes the world a lot smaller, you know?
Yeah.
So like, I don't know if you know who Sarah Dietschy is, for example. She's a YouTuber, but she's in a totally different space. She actually does a lot of vlog, a lot of Casey Neistat type stuff.
Nice.
But it just so happens she's also a guitar player, and she uses some of our stuff. And she did an interview with Gary Vaynerchuk about marketing, and I was in one of his books recently. So anyways, small world where I found out she was a fan of us, so I contacted her. And so now I'll be going to New York City here in a few days, in a week, to do a video with her and a podcast. So it's like it's like this weird networking thing where, you know, I would have had no idea that she used our stuff or even that the possibility was even there, you know? So it's just really weird because like that was, and she was a channel that I watched more from a film, a videography standpoint, because I love the way she edits stuff. And then I saw that she was using an ego compressor. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. See, that has to feel cool for you. Like, you're just watching this video, and all of a sudden, there's one of your pedals. And I'm like, wait a second.
It is. It's super odd. Yeah, and I do it with YouTubers as well. So, I mean, I actually think that's how I got in touch with you, maybe. I think maybe you're using an Echo or something like that. I forget.
Yeah, but, I don't remember how we even became friends. How did this happen?
I need to avoid this next time. No,
note to self.
So what are some of the things that you dislike? Like, what's the downside of being a YouTuber?
I think now I don't really view it so much as a downside, but earlier on, you know, it's pretty like traumatizing when someone is, you know, like trolls you basically.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I feel bad for a lot of like younger musicians who grow up, you know, starting with YouTube and you know, earlier on. Luckily I was already kind of more, by the time I started YouTube, I had been playing for, you know, 5-6 years or something like that. But someone who's only been playing like 2 years or something like that is like uploading their first cover of Crazy Train, and you know, there's some jerk out there. I'm like, that's kind of like a bummer. They're gonna try to like put down this player who's, you know, there's this girl named Felipe, I think is her name.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yep. And I'm like I can't imagine where she's gonna be in 2 years. Like, it'll be so cool because you can literally watch her like entire journey,
right,
as a guitar player.
Yeah, I think she was in a band called the Mini Band or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know who you're talking about exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, and she's great. She's an amazing guitar player. But I'm just like, you know, that one troll comment could discourage someone from, you know, ever wanting to make another video or play guitar, all because of, you know, someone else has something going on in their life that they feel they need to, you know,
right,
be mean, basically. I'm like, oh, that's kind of like a downside. Now when they comment that stuff to me, I think it's funny. And usually I just, you know, respond with some kind of sarcastic remark and then post it on Facebook.
So it doesn't get to you anymore. And that's great. There are times if it's something really hateful where I'll just delete and block. I mean, if it's someone just obviously trolling, trying to be funny, then it depends. I guess it depends if I laugh at it. If it's something like super hateful and super just extremely mean and very dark spirited, usually I'm like, you know, I don't even want this guy or girl or whoever watching my videos. Like, I don't even want them to be a part of my life, just because life's too short for that, you know?
And, yeah, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, so that's. I think that's that was a been a big struggle, not a big struggle, but it was a struggle for me early on. And I worry about, like you said, like younger kids. Like my daughter has a YouTube channel, not in guitar, but in like other stuff. And you know, I'm real careful to try to explain to her. All right, well, you can't take this personally. You know, there are just people out there that are bored. And so they try to say things to make you comment back, or they're coming from a very negative point in their life. And they're just simply spitting out hatred to you because they're so miserable inside. So, yeah. You know what I mean? So, I think it's kind of becoming not accepted, but expected, among a younger generation. You know,
yeah,
who's growing into
it? Yeah, it gets to the point where you just kind of like roll your eyes, and you're like, "What?" And you just kind of like keep scrolling. And I found one thing that I do that I sort of make myself do is if I ever respond to a negative comment, you know, sarcastically or whatever, or sometimes I'm just like, "Do you realize how dumb you sound?"
Yeah,
you know. But I always like then I have to go, make stuff respond to two extra, you know, like positive comments, because I don't want the negative comments to ever be a priority, you know. To me, it's like, you know, I always try to respond to as many, you know, of the supportive comments or like constructive criticism. I love when people offer constructive stuff. Like, my videos have gotten a lot better through people just being like, hey, you know, you could do this, or like the audio. They're like, hey, you know, you're adding a, you know, stereo widener here. You really shouldn't do that. You should do this. And I was like, I didn't know that. Thank you.
Right. Which actually brings me to a different question, which is the sound that you're getting. What are you doing? Like, how are you getting that sound? I was listening to it, an hour ago to one of your videos. And I'm like, my God, how is he getting that sound?
Well, it's all, the secret is I hire Brent Mason to play, I've hired him and then Tim Pierce to play all these parts. Notice you never see me playing and my hands in the same shot. No one's ever actually seen my hands.
I know you use a lot of impulse responses, right?
Yeah. I'm not like super picky about that stuff. I had went the modeling route for a long time simply because, I never really liked miking up cabinets and was never good at it for one. Cause it's, all the different facets of guitar or like recording, it's like, you have to be good at so many different things.
So oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so as soon as I kind of figured out, the brand Two Notes, which I think you use their cab pedal and stuff, don't you?
I use the captor coming from the amp.
Captor.
And then, when I'm recording stuff, I actually go into my DAW and I split it into three to four different impulses. And it could be from a variety of different brands. Between Onehammer and Celestion seem to be my favorite lately.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Those Celestion ones that I had tried were really good.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a ton of them. And that's the problem. There's so many impulse responses to go through. I get lost in just going through the different impulse responses. But so I've set up like a template that have let's say four of my favorite sounds. So one's like a 412 cabinet, 212 cabinet, a 112 cabinet, and I think the other one is, what is it? I think the other one's more like a Vox. So it's like a Marshall type of thing. A Fender type of thing, another Fender type of thing, and then a Vox type of thing. So, that's what I do when I'm doing videos, but, at NAMM and, if I'm playing something live somewhere, I'll actually bring the cab, the Two Notes, cab, and I'll load it with my own impulse responses, but that allows me to, one, have an amp on stage that I can hear, not have to mic it, and know exactly what sound I'm going to be having out front, you know?
Yeah. See, isn't technology great?
Oh, I love it.
Having all this, I mean, that was, I had sold all of my real amps, and I just had the Axe FX, and when I found out about the Two Notes stuff, I was like, oh, that'd be kind of cool to, get an amp and get one of those things. So it just, saved up for like a lifetime and got an amp. And then I originally had the Reload. Now I have the Two Notes Live. And I was like, this is amazing. I was like, I love both sides. I love modeling, but I also love a real tube amp.
Right.
So when I found that stuff, I'm going to be honest, I'm pretty lazy. I use one impulse. That's it.
See, now I'm just pissed because I don't see how you get that sound with one. How are you doing it?
I use one, and it's just a four by, it's a Rev one that they sent me to check out. And I think they even have like an updated version, and I'm like, I don't even want it. I want this one. Like, it's just this, it's a 4x12 closeback. And I know the guy who made them. They made them in a place called Stereo Bus up in Canada, and it sounds great. Whatever amp I kind of put through it, it just works with all of them. And I'm incredibly lazy, so I'm like, this is great.
They are so fantastic, and I remember when I was first doing videos, actually up to maybe even a year ago, or give or take. I might literally spend 4 to 5 hours just moving mics, trying different mics. Like, it was just such a nightmare to make a video because,
yeah.
I mean, I did build a room to kind of leave everything set up in there, but it just always seemed to completely change.
Well, it's like, no matter what you do, that was my thing. Like I said, miking is its own art form, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have a ribbon with a 57. I mean, and I'm talking about stuff I don't know what I'm saying right now. I'm just like, I've just heard these words before. So, but yeah, I'm just like, I don't understand that stuff. And I'm actually like so incompetent when it comes to recording and all that stuff. Like I was just, when we were in Nashville, we did some stuff at Blackbird and they were asking me to send them like, song stems of like each of the tracks and all this stuff.
Right.
I'm like, I don't even know what that means. What are you talking about?
What's a stem? Yeah, that would be the same thing. So when you say stem, you mean what?
Yeah, I literally just text them back. I'm like, oh no, you don't know I'm an idiot. And then I just like sent them stuff. And they're like, yeah, these will work. It was like DI signals that I had to do. And then I sent them the drums the wrong way. I didn't know how to export to an actual MIDI file. I'm just like, I'm telling you guys, I know nothing. I'm being honest. Like,
it's not an act. It's
not an act. I legitimately, like, the fact that I ever figured out how to, like, get Easy Drummer to work in my DAW, that was, like, the crowning moment in my recording like life.
See, and you're ahead of me. I'm still trying to I'm still watching YouTube videos on how to get the best out of Logic Pro. You know what I mean? And I don't mean like at an advanced level. I'm talking beginner level.
Man, I'll tell you what. There's one series of videos that really, really changed all of that for me. I'll have to send it to you. I think his name is Music Tech Help Guy.
Uh-huh.
And he has this whole series. He takes you from the beginning stages of a song. Feel bad. I can't believe I haven't seen this before. And he takes you through, it's like a 15 part series of videos, but he just shows you everything, how to like mix a song and only use stock Logic plugins.
Oh, see, I would love that. I would love that.
I kind of like skimmed through it, so I didn't really pay super close attention, but like there were so many like key moments in it that I was just like, oh, that's how I do this. Now I have to add an adaptive limiter. I'm like, this is great. So
yeah, that's what I need. And I need like the 3-minute versions of the videos. Cause I have found some and it's like 45 minutes. I'm like, I can't be asked to watch a 45 minute video, man.
Yeah. Well, you know what I started doing is I watch YouTube videos. You can speed them up.
Yes.
Yep. And I watch them faster.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, and it cuts them down. And, you know, it shaves like, you know, 20 minutes off of a long video. And then I realize that I didn't pay attention. Now I have to re-watch it again. And then it's the same length, but.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll have to do that. Yeah. So, all right. One last question, and then we'll close it down.
Sure.
You still play with bands every now and then, right?
Yeah.
So what's your gear whenever you're going out to play with the band somewhere? Or does it change just depending on your mood?
Yeah, well, it changes depends on where we're playing. So I play like a band or I do like clinic stuff, you know, where I'll fly out and I'll just – usually what I do there is I take a couple pedals with me, just kind of like no matter what amp I have, you know, I know that these pedals will work good. But if it's like a local place, like, you know, we would play some like sketchy places – and those I have like an old beat up 2x12 and a tube head that, you know, I just don't care. I assume they don't care about it, but if something would happen to it,
right,
it's not the end of the world. So then I would kind of take that stuff and just like a delay or reverb pedal, which pretty much 90% of the time is the ethereal now.
Oh, cool.
That's one of the like, I sent you pictures when I was in Shanghai.
Yeah.
Like, they were just like, I was like, I'll just bring a delay reverb pedal. And I just like, all right, the ethereal is literally both of those. Boom, done.
So amp wise, I mean, are you getting your dirt from the amp, or is it more pedal based, or is it a little of both?
I've always been just super simple. When I, like I said, I use the rev amps, the green one I have, the Generator 740. With its switching system, it was just kind of like super versatile for the grit stuff. So I've always just kind of plugged right into the amp and then had a delay or reverb and a tuner, if I could ever remember it. Half the time I forgot it at home.
No way.
I'm like, it's going to be one of those nights.
That's fantastic.
So yeah, but now I actually really want to build a pedal board. If only I knew a friend who knew how to do that.
I don't know. I'll have to Google for that. I'm not real sure of anyone that makes pedals or knows how to connect pedals together.
Yeah. Oh, look, I just looked someone up. His name's Brian.
Not me.
No, not you. You're like, please, no more pedal board.
No, I'm just teasing. So, all right. So, let's see. So, what's your website?
Just Robert Baker Guitar.
RobertBakerGuitar.com?
Yep.
Okay. And Robert Baker on YouTube. You do the Facebook and thing, right?
I do Facebook. That's just Robert Baker Guitar. And Instagram is also the same.
Robert Baker Guitar. Perfect.
Constantly creative, you know.
Do you do the Twitch?
I don't do any Twitter stuff. I to be honest, I don't understand it. Like, they like will tweet you something with so many @s and hashtags. I'm like, I don't even know what this is saying anymore. So
that's fantastic. Well, perfect. So everyone out there, make sure you go check out Robert's stuff. You'll love it. I guarantee it. Robert, thanks so much for being on the podcast today, man. It's been great talking to you, and I appreciate it so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Ryan.
Yeah, not a problem. And thank you so much for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. I really appreciate it. If you have any comments or questions, please email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. If you like this podcast, we'd love it if you left a review on iTunes. That not only makes me feel good inside, honestly, it also helps us reach more people with the podcast. So if you feel free to do that, that helps us a bunch. Thanks for listening. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.